Thank you, Claire. You've now heard from all of our junior contestants, and you will now hear from our senior contestants. For our junior contestants, the age bracket is 13 to 15 years of age, and our seniors are from the ages of 16 to 18. Our senior judge's choice will be traveling to the Archdiocese Convention to represent our diocese and the National Oratorical Competition. So we will now hear from our senior contestants. Judges, are we ready? Timekeeper ready? Doors? I now present to you senior contestant number one.
Your Eminence, Archbishop Joseph, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Order in the court. Would the defendant please rise for the verdict to be read? These words would buckle the knees of even the bravest of men. Truly I say to you, one day each and every one of us will have to face this precise moment. So I ask you, if you were put on trial, accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? God will be both our judge and jury, and the Holy Spirit will be our lawyer, or our parakletos, as we call him in Greek, which literally means our advocate. But the Holy Spirit can only defend us with the evidence that we give him. So how can we guarantee that we have enough evidence accumulated to be proven guilty and enter the kingdom of heaven? Because Adam and all his descendants are unable to resist sin, God has given us guidelines to live by so that we may better understand his word. For example, he gives us the Ten Commandments through Moses. He also gives us parables to better understand his will. However, the most important thing to understand is that it is only by the grace of God that we may enter the kingdom of heaven. In God's love for us, he warned us not to eat of the fruit because the sin would lead to death. We didn't listen to him. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, fell victim to his own sins. We sin ourselves and partake in other people's sins. We often say nothing when a friend tells us she lost her virginity. We often watch rather than act as they broadcast television shows promoting gay marriage. We often remain silent as a friend is bullied and harassed over Facebook. We have seen our own government tear down the rules that they themselves established pursuant to the will of the people, preserving the God-ordained sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. Why do we do this? Because we believe that it is easier to conform to this world. Who are we to tell our friends that she is misusing her body? It's hers, right? Who are we to tell gay people and television broadcasters that it is wrong to promote a homosexual lifestyle? They say that they're not affecting our lives or our love, so what's it to us? Live and let live, right? So how are we supposed to stand up for the other kid who is being hurt over the internet without bringing embarrassment and bullying upon ourselves? Who are we to tell our government that this country is becoming a present-day Sodom and Gomorrah? We've already watched as Russia endured nearly 80 years of oppression because the country rejected God. Now, we have seen a punk rock band defile a Russian Orthodox church and gain support through their actions from various organizations and popular figures, such as Amnesty International. If we don't speak up now, we will see one of our priests jailed and tried before the world for refusing to marry a gay couple. Mark my words. There will come a time when our Supreme Court will be called upon to make a decision over whether the church should be allowed to exclude those people who refuse to live a life in accordance to God's word, or if this practice refuses those people of their constitutional right to freedom of expression under the law. This church needs our, this country needs our church right now more than ever. And this is the fight of our generation. We must not allow the forces of secularism to rob us of our freedom of religious expression, practice, and belief. We can no longer afford to be America's best-kept secret. In the era of the Roman persecution, when a person was put on trial, accused of being a Christian, they were facing the ends of their earthly lives. Today, when the consequences for standing up for our faith are, at worst, facing persecution from atheists and apostates, we still shrink away from the challenge that God has given us. We worry about offending another person by stating that we support Proposition 8, or that we do not approve of abortion, or simply that we do not want to facilitate these sins any more than we already have. Our reluctance to speak up blurs the lines between right and wrong, the lines clearly given to us by God. When Jesus judges us and asks us where we were when he was hungry and thirsty, he will also ask us, where were you when they were legalizing abortion? Where were you when they were defiling the sacrament of marriage? Where were you? What evidence will you be able to put before God then? So who are we? We are the body of Christ, here and now and forever. Yet, we fall short of what we have been called here to do time and time again. And what is it that we have been called here to do? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we simply do this, we will be fulfilling God's will. In Romans chapter 1, St. Paul warns against those who tolerate sin. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, untrustworthy, undiscerning, disobedient to parents, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I deserve death. Frankly, we deserve death. By the actions that we fail to do, by the objections we fail to make, St. Paul warns us that by our tolerance for sin, we will be condemned. Christ came to redeem us. He instructed us to be perfect as our God in heaven is perfect. He sacrificed himself on the cross, knowing that we would not live up to his standard. God's love for us is so complete that even when the evidence that we present is so inadequate, he gives us the church so that it may guide us. As our church father, St. John Chrysostom, wrote, thus I have shown you five paths of repentance. Condemnation of your own sins, forgiveness of those other sins against you. Prayer, almsgiving, and humility. Do not be idle then, but walk daily in all these paths. This is important for us to remember because Christ warns us, we know not when the Son of Man will come in all his glory. We cannot earn our way into the kingdom because it is only by the grace of God that we may enter it. But the Lord tells us in the Revelation of St. John, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. God will weigh our hearts and judge us with no uncertainty. Therefore, we must prepare ourselves to the best of our abilities so that we may present the most evidence before God, so that we may hear him say, the verdict's in. Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been proven worthy of the name of Christian. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Court adjourned.